now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah, I know I'm a little late, couple days in. You know, we're a few days into the new year already. But I haven't gotten a chance to tell you guys Happy New Year. And I hope that this year is prosperous and adventurous, and we get all the things that we're hoping for in 2022. And so with that, I'll spare us some of the negative things that have taken place, and simply because I know we're knee deep in all of it. Like, I'll spare us the Antonio Brown mental illness, all things that everything that goes with that story, because I'm sure as of today, you're tired of it. You've heard it all since Sunday, and everybody had their take on what's wrong with him, what's not wrong with him, what could have happened, what should have happened. I'm not fooling with it. I'm also not fooling with this Big Ben situation, where Monday Night Football basically romanticized Ben Roethlisberger and talked about him as if he was this great quarterback, which he was pretty good on the field, no problems. But a lot of times when you mention Ben Roethlisberger, what typically comes up is some of the sexual assault and rape allegations that he faced a few years back. And I don't believe it was just one. I don't think it was just one. I think it was like multiple allegations that came to him. But we seem to sweep that up under the rug. The man says he's retiring. We give him... Or he seems to be retiring, because he never said he was retiring, never said he was going anywhere. And he basically said this was possibly his last game at Heinz Field. And so ESPN, ABC, Monday Night Football, all of these guys, even on the Manning broadcast, Peyton and Eli are sitting here. They got Aaron Rodgers and all these other guys giving well wishes and telling nice stories and everything that they love about Ben Roethlisberger. And he may not allegedly have been a sexual predator. So, you know, I won't go into that. I kind of went into it, I mean. But I will say, RIP to the legend, John Madden. Coach to analyst to video game icon, his imprint will forever be on the game of football. Like, there's generations of young men and women now who have learned the game of football based off of playing Madden, 2K, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's dope in terms of being considered a legend, and what we consider as a legendary status, the generations that he's touched without even knowing he's touched those generations. So RIP to the great John Madden, and yeah, he will be missed. But like I said, since the last Commissioner's Conversation, man, UGA and Bama have solidified their right to play for the national title. Congratulations to them. I'll get into that. I'll tell you my prediction on who I think will win the national championship. The Lakers still haven't figured it out. Surprise, surprise. Like, everybody said they'd figure it out. All they got to do, they're a playoff team, and they look terrible. It's like LeBron is trying to do all he can, and it ain't clicking. We'll get into it. What else has happened? Oh, today, or yesterday, I should say. Yesterday, a reporter basically said that he was not going to vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP, basically because he thinks he's a jerk. I mean, we'll talk about it, and I'll tell you who I think the MVP should be. But before we do any of those things, we'll get into the I told y'all, my bad.
It's time for...
Hey man, I told y'all, this Zion thing, I don't know, man. It may end poorly over in New Orleans. If you haven't heard, Zion has basically decided that he was going to continue rehabbing, but not in New Orleans. He's going to continue to rehab in Portland out on his own. And he says he's going to stay under the supervision of the Pelicans medical staff, but we'll see how fast this goes to the left real quick, man. Because anytime you're away from the facility, you've basically cut yourself off from the team. Like, nothing good has happened when somebody went away from the team. I haven't heard the story when they said, man, I went and did this. Whenever you hear somebody say, I got to go check my own doctors. Whenever you hear somebody say, I want to consult with my own lawyer, or I want to talk to my aide, you know, anytime you go away from what the team is doing, then it doesn't usually fare well for you and that team, because they're going to find some discrepancies. They're going to find something that you are doing or that you should have been doing that's going to help your rehab that the team doctors didn't tell you. Maybe they're going to, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on what they're going to tell him, but I am going to say I don't suspect that he will be in New Orleans for a long time. Like, he may resign, but only reason why he would resign is so he can get that big ass check that only New Orleans can give him. And then probably after he get that big ass check, then he'll be ready to bounce and go to New York. Or go any place else other than New Orleans. So we'll see how this goes. But Zion has moved away from the Pelicans facility. He's going to rehab on his own. And I don't think that's good for the relationship of him and the New Orleans Pelicans. Hey man, listen, I don't know. If you follow me on Instagram, if you follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon and on Twitter at G Robinson Sports, and now on TikTok at the Commissioner Gordon, I'll give it to you again. Say it a little slower because you might be picking up your phones ready to follow your boy. On Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon, on Twitter at G Robinson Sports, and on TikTok at the Commissioner Gordon. I would have got them all on Commissioner Gordon at the Commissioner Gordon, but it wasn't available on Twitter, so I had to do what I had to do. But if you're following me there, throughout the last few weeks of the season, what I was doing in terms of fantasy football was giving you my waiver wire pickups. And so it would be gems on there that people would call me, would text me, would send me comments and message me, basically saying, hey, I picked up this dude and he scored 30 points for me. I won the game. You know, whatever. And I put some people on the path to the championship in their league. Unfortunately for me, I didn't get on the championship in the league. I'm in like three leagues. I just got, you know, I got booted out in two leagues in the semifinals. And then in one league, I lost in the first round. But that was due to like COVID and injuries. Like, everybody caught COVID and everybody else was damn out because they was already hurt. But I hope that you guys had more success than me by listening to me and putting the guys in place. But I told y'all at the beginning of the very beginning of the season, there's a post on my Instagram said, remember, Sony Michel is now on the Rams. This was prior to the draft. And now Sony Michel is paying dividends. If you held him to the end, I know it was a struggle in the first probably about 6-7 weeks. You know, it didn't look like it was a valuable pickup, but if you held him to the end, you know, he's good to go. He put a bunch of points up for you. I also told y'all, remember this? I told y'all to not put Cam Newton on your fantasy team. And what did he do the week after I told you not to put Cam Newton on your fantasy team? He went out, he had a monster-ass game, and everybody was looking at me like, "Oh, you don't put Cam on your fantasy team." And I went on with Sam and Greg on 92.9 The Game, and I told him I had egg on my face because I told you guys not to pick up Cam, and he went out there, and he did the damn thing, and he, "I'm back," all that crazy stuff. And what does he do every week since? Not a damn thing. So guess what? I told y'all. Also, like I said, if you've been following me on Instagram, I've been putting up the waiver wires, the pickups, and I had one post that I was like spot on that week, and it was a breaker. It was a game breaker. I told y'all to pick up Dante Foreman from Tennessee. I told you to pick him up. He'd been putting up numbers. I told y'all to pick up Amon-Ra St. Brown. I picked him up, and he was kicking ass, putting up numbers. He put up like 23, 24, 25 in like 3 or 4 consecutive weeks. Russell Gage picked up some numbers. He didn't put up anything. Like, he probably picked up like 8, 9, 10 on his last week against Detroit. But he put up some numbers a couple weeks before that. KJ Osborne put up some numbers. And once again, Sony Michel. I told you to pick him up. I reminded you that he was on the Rams, and now he was starting to play because of some injuries. And if you picked him up, you own the big things popping. So like I said, they all put up some nice numbers. They ball for at least a couple weeks, man. So I hope you did better than me in your fantasy leagues. And if not, man, you know, as always, next year, go get them.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, sticking kind of with the I told y'all theme, I mean, I told y'all when this stuff first got together with the Lakers and Russ, it wasn't going to work out, man. I told you that it wasn't a fit because Russ demands to have the ball in his hand all the time. Russ is a wild card that you really can't control. Sometimes he looks like he's out of control just playing basketball. And I didn't see how he would fit on the team with LeBron, AD, Melo. You know what I'm saying? He didn't really fit. And I was right. Like, I mean, everybody's talking about, oh, give him time. Oh, give him time. And currently, time is about up, man. I think LeBron is getting frustrated. Coach is getting frustrated. They were trying to fire Frank Vogel not too long ago, like just a few weeks back. They were putting the blame on Frank Vogel. And you know who deserves the blame? You know who needs to carry this bag? Yes. Right. LeBron James. It's all on him. Because if memory serves me correctly, there were reports that General Manager Rob Pelinka wanted to make moves to put Buddy Hield on the squad. And what happened was he was trumped and chumped by LeBron James because LeBron wanted Russell Westbrook on the team. And I get LeBron's mentality. I understand why he wanted him. And for those looking around like, why the hell? I don't know. Why do you want him? In theory, you know Anthony Davis is going to be hurt. And in theory, LeBron's getting older. He's getting, you know, he's getting a few knick-knack injuries here and there. So he may start doing a little load management. AD being hurt, LeBron load managing. You need a guy who's going to be there every game, and he's going to be going hard every game. That's the thinking. So you get a dude like Russ, because Russ is the energizer bunny. He doesn't stop going. And in that aspect, he's a great fit. If you're just talking about a dude who is going to be there, he's for sure going to be there. He's for sure going to go hard. He's not really going to give you any kind of pushback. Like, you've never heard him going against a coach or battling another player. You heard players that may not want to play with him because of how he plays, but he's never been that type of dude to get into it with other players. And actually, he looked like, when he was in Houston, he looked like he was a pretty damn good mentor for some of these younger players. But that was the thinking, that Russ is going to go hard all the time, 82 games, and we need somebody there, a leader there, 82 games. LeBron is going to lead, but sometimes he's going to be over there with his old buddy street clothes. So you get a guy like Brody to come in and play basketball. But the basketball part about it was what was lacking. Because me, I'm looking around like, okay, you got Anthony Davis. Okay, I know he kind of inside out. You know, he can hit the three. He's not a three-point shooter, but he's inside outside. All right. You know, you got Melo, who's inside outside. You got THT, who can play around the basket. Who in the hell finna shoot the ball? And when you ask that question, basketball people understand what you mean, but to people who really don't watch or play, they're looking like, what do you mean? Russ averages, you know, and throw out some numbers. LeBron averages and throw out his numbers, and AD averages and throw out some numbers. Like, everybody's shooting the ball. But what you have to understand is who's shooting the ball. Who's the guy who's behind the three-point line shooting the basketball? And the reason why that's important is because the rest of LeBron, Anthony Davis, like I said, THT, all of these guys, even Russ. Russ likes to play around the rim. Russ is only like 6'4", but he likes to play around the rim. His best shot, truthfully, is a 15-footer. He stops and pops, and he'll hit that little damn, you know, that little 15-footer around the free throw line. But that's not stretching the defense. And it's important to stretch the defense so that when LeBron or whoever is putting the ball on the floor, that the defender has to come a long way to get to him, to double him. And by the time he gets there, he's probably in the air making the layup or fouling. You know what I'm saying? Or you have to foul him. So that's why that's important. That's why you have to have someone who shoots the basketball. Because that makes the defense play more of a man-to-man, play more of an honest defense. You can't sag in on this guy. You can't really double down onto this guy, because this guy out here can knock down the three and make you pay for it. And that's what the Lakers need. That's what they need now. That's what they needed before the season. But that's not what they have. And that would have been why Rob Pelinka, who's the general manager, why his move would have been a better move to get Buddy Hield, because Buddy Hield is a three-point shooter. He was a three-point shooter coming out of college, and he's still a three-point shooter. He had a big game the other night. So it's important that you get someone that can help LeBron, and the best way to help LeBron is to make the buckets beyond the three-point line. And it's at this point that I ask, Can general manager Rob Pelinka look at LeBron and say, sit your ass down? Shut up. Let me put together this damn team. Let me do what I want to do, what my job is to do. You understand? Can he say that? Because one, LeBron is at the point of his career where he's still doing LeBron type things, but he's looking more and more mortal. And the general manager telling LeBron, hey man, sit your ass down and shut up. Let me do my job. You might not get fired for that today. Well, you were certain to get fired for it. Probably a couple years back. But I understand, like, I get it. Being the general manager of a basketball team, it's kind of like being the president or a politician, I'll say. Because everybody in the world believes they can do the job better than the guy who has the job. Everybody, think about all fans of sports, all you ever talk about. Why'd they draft him? They should have drafted old such and such. Why they paying him all that damn money? You could have gave that money. I wouldn't have gave them that kind of contract. I wouldn't have gave him that many years. I trade for old such and such. And I trade for him. They don't need this dude. And sometimes the general manager's right. And sometimes us, the people, the fans, we're right. But everybody believes they can do the job of a general manager better than the damn general manager. Very few teams are happy 100% of the time with the GM that they have in place. And you got to think, man, like, these guys' job is, or the decisions that they make at their job, is put out front and center every day. If you make this move, if you sign this guy, he's out here in front of the people every day, and every day people are questioning why. To the point where I believe Travis Schlink, the Atlanta Hawks GM, was literally beside himself in an interview on 92.9 The Game, because he's feeling like he basically second-guessed himself. Honestly, second-guessed himself on live radio. And I was like, oh, that was kind of cringeworthy, because the dude sat there and he said, like, maybe I shouldn't have brought everybody back. Maybe I should have shaken up the roster a little bit. And he's analyzing himself in front of the entire city, because the Atlanta Hawks aren't doing what everyone thinks they should do. They're not competing. They're not contending. They're not winning the games that we think they should win. But at the same time, if I'm the GM of said team, I ain't telling your ass that I'm stinking up at my job. I don't care what my job is. I ain't telling nobody. Yeah, man, I'm fucking this up. I ain't telling you that. Nah. Because in public, what should be said was, I got this. This is under control. Don't you worry. But he is like, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should have did X, Y, Z. And honestly, it's one of those, like we talked about fantasy football earlier. And fantasy football, it should show the casual fan, the average fan, or even avid fans, it should show you that, yes, you can make what you believe to be are the smartest decisions in the world. You can make some of the best pickups. You can draft A1. You can do all those things. Everything in your mind is 100% correct. But you can't control injuries. You can't control attitudes. You can't control COVID. There's so many things that are beyond one man's control. because you could pick up a player and or you can draft a player and he ain't it, or you could pick up a player who was going crazy for another team and then you bring him to your team and he ain't going crazy, he just look regular. And then you have to realize, oh, he was just a good fit for that particular team. So, I mean, I say that to say, like, if I'm the GM, I really do stand up and say, we're not listening to LeBron. If I'm the GM, if I'm Rob Pelinka, we're not listening to LeBron. We tried to do what you wanted to do. That was it. I'm not doing it anymore. I have to dig a way out of your damn hole. I have to figure out if I can trade Russell Westbrook. If I can make a few trades. If I can package up some guys to get a guy that we need because you wanted to play buddy ball. Or you just had what you thought was a good idea so that you can coast and it turns out to be a dud. So I'm telling LeBron, sit his ass down, shut his ass up, and let me do my job.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yep, it's a new year. And what better way to start the new year than with some fresh new gear? New year, new gear, right? Why don't you go to holler my people at 323_custom_apparel. Get you a whole new wardrobe, man. You can customize it. You can put all kind of pictures on it. You can do anything you want to do because, hey, it's a new you. New year, new you. New year, new gear. All you got to do is holler at my folks at 323 Custom Apparel and make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, I told you guys that since we last talked, Georgia and Alabama have brought themselves to the national championships, have played themselves into the national championship. And if you saw those games where Alabama played Cincinnati and Georgia played Michigan, their dominance was on display. And I'll be honest, like, there's no disputing this national championship. There's some years where you can look around and be like, man, if such and such had a got a shot or whatever, there's no disputing that these are the two best teams in the country. And it stinks that it's going to be such a regional game, but such is the breaks. Like, it's been a team from the SEC probably, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but probably like a majority of, I'll say upwards of 75% of all of these national title games, at least in the playoffs. I know there's been one in there damn near every playoffs. But I will say, like, there's no disputing Alabama is probably one of the best teams, is one of the two best teams in the nation. And Georgia Bulldogs are one of the two best teams in the nation. And this game is going to come down to adjustments. I think I touched on it when we talked to Randy. It's going to come down to adjustments and how Kirby Smart makes those adjustments. Because we've seen Nick Saban is going to make adjustments. He'll have something up his sleeve, and if that doesn't work, he'll quickly go back to the drawing board and he'll make a move on the fly. Will Georgia be able to do that? We haven't seen Kirby do those things. Kirby just keeps on keeping on with the program is just going to keep on keeping on. Just going to keep doing it. I believe he's stuck on this story about Stetson Bennett, the walk-on. He's determined to make him go from walk-on to national champion. And I don't think he's ready to pull the trigger if JT Daniels is ready to go. I don't think that he's going to make that adjustment. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think that Kirby is going to make the necessary changes and adjustments that it's going to take to beat Alabama. So with that being said, my prediction is that I believe Alabama wins again. Because Nick Saban is willing to do whatever it takes to get the W. Like, I saw an article earlier today, I think on Yahoo Sports, where basically Nick Saban is still playing the undercard. We're the underdog. Everybody's against us. He's finding things to be mad at. He's finding stuff for his players that he can show them and get it under their skin and have them ready to go. Kirby Smart's over there like, oh, I hope we win the game. Nick Saban is making shit up to be mad about. I don't know if you remember the Michael Jordan, you know, the Last Dance. We were talking about Michael Jordan, where dude really didn't say nothing to Mike. Mike just made up in his mind that he was talking shit. And the next time I see him, I'm going to put up 50. That's what Nick Saban is doing. We the underdog. How? You beat Georgia last time by like 23 points. How are you the underdog? Georgia has all this to prove. Georgia has all the pressure. Georgia ain't won a championship in 40 years. Y'all just won one. Hell, you've been winning like 7 of them. But you find things to be angry about. You find reasons for motivation. And I think they're doing it. Alabama is doing it. They're finding motivation. And they're going to make the adjustments. Whatever it takes to win, they're going to do it. I'm not predicting the score. I have no idea. The game could be a super high scoring game. It could be another, remember the old Alabama LSU game where it was like 6-3? It could be one of them. I have no idea, but I will thoroughly be entertained. I will be rooting for UGA. But you know what I'm expecting.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Once again, Happy New Year. How did you bring in the new year? Did you have you a glass of champagne? Did you have a glass of wine? Did you have you your favorite beer, sparkling cider, whatever? You know what you should have had? That's right. You should have got you some of that Greenwood whiskey. Greenwood whiskey is perfect for this occasion, for the new year. You know why? Because Greenwood whiskey is celebration whiskey. And what were we doing? Celebrating the turn of a new year. The next time you have your favorite outing, the next time that you have a reason to raise a glass and toast, make sure it's with Greenwood whiskey. Because once again, it's celebration whiskey.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, did y'all see the back and forth between Aaron Rodgers and the football reporter Hub Arkish? Well, basically what wound up happening was Hub went out on his show and he basically said that he wouldn't vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP because he thinks Aaron Rodgers is a jerk. Basically, I mean, and he used the words jerk. He said he was the biggest jerk in the league. But then he turned around and said, you have a case on the field, case for him being the MVP. But you could make a same or similar case for Jonathan Taylor, for Tom Brady, or for Cooper Kupp. And so that kind of has a point. Like, Jonathan Taylor is carrying the Colts. Cooper Kupp has had monstrous numbers. Like, and Tom Brady is Tom Brady. You can make a MVP prediction for him every year. You can put him up on the MVP every year. But Jonathan Taylor is not doing it as consistent as Aaron Rodgers. I don't think any of those outside of Tom Brady are as consistent as Aaron Rodgers. And I think his assessment was probably fueled by some of the things that he's heard about Aaron Rodgers in terms of him and his family. I don't know if you know that story, but Aaron Rodgers has kind of detached himself from all things everybody else named Rogers. He doesn't talk to his mother, father, all of these, brother. He doesn't talk to anyone in his family. And has kind of isolated himself. And then the thing that he pulled with the whole COVID vaccine type scheme, where he kind of pump faked us and told us that he's been immunized and never said I've been vaccinated. And then he came down with COVID. And then we find out that he wasn't vaccinated. And everybody was like, well, why you lie? Why you ain't just say you weren't vaccinated? There's plenty of players out here that's not vaccinated. And nobody say shit to him. But you look like a weirdo, or you look strange, or you look like a jerk when you make the comments and tell everybody that you've been protected or you have been immunized. When the question comes up, are you vaccinated? Instead of just being like, nah, I'm taking other precautions. But even with that, that ain't got shit to do with what you doing on the football field. Absolutely nothing. If you balling out on the football field, who cares what kind of jerk you are off the field? This is an on-field award. And Arkush basically said, I quote, I think he's a bad guy. And I don't think a bad guy can be the most valuable guy at the same time. Why not? It's not a personality contest. In fact, if you pull back the layers and we dig into most of these dudes' private and personal and real life, you ain't gonna like damn near none of them. Almost all of them are some jerks or some weirdos or have some kind of views that you're just not going to agree with or do some shit that you're gonna look side-eyed or do something that you look strange at. So you can't base an on-field award by something that happens off the field. You don't like how he speaks to the media. That's what happened with Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, he became the scapegoat of the steroid era, and everybody boo and hisses at him because he was a jerk. But the entire league was on steroids. So now, because you don't like Aaron Rodgers, you don't like his get down, you don't like how he kick it, so he can't possibly be the MVP of the league, even though he's out here balling and looking like the MVP of the league. And if I had my vote, I'm telling you, I would vote Aaron Rodgers as MVP of the league. But I don't have a vote. Like, and since then, since that, the two, Aaron Rodgers has basically come back and called him a bum and basically said that he doesn't think that Hub should have an MVP vote. And technically, he's right. If you're going to tell us that this is your criteria, if you're telling me that this is how you vote on a personality contest, then you shouldn't be voting. This is a football contest. This is a football award. If we wanted to talk about his personality, he'd be up for the Walter Payton Award. He'd be up for one of the humanitarian awards. This ain't that. This ain't the feel-good story that they show before the game or at halftime, where you walk up to the hospital and you help the kids or you help the elderly or you read books. It ain't none of that. This is picking them up, putting them down, putting six on the board, winning the game. And with that, Aaron Rodgers, to quote Stephen A. Smith, I don't want to do it, but he's a bad man. It's what he is. Everything short of this side of Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers is the best. So I have to question, should Hub Arkush have a vote also? Because He's voting for the wrong thing. He's not voting for football. He's voting for community rights. He's voting for personality. Like I keep saying this, he's voting off of the man's personality. And I was telling someone earlier, a couple days ago, when they talk about, okay, what is it like interviewing people and talking to these different people and stars and celebrities and athletes? It's tough. Because as somebody once told me, never meet your heroes. Because when you meet your heroes, 9 times out of 10, you'll be disappointed. Sounds to me like old Hub just got a little disappointed.
Commissioner Gordon.
Thank you for tuning in. This has been the Commissioner's Conversation. I appreciate you. Happy 2022. We're going to do it. We're going to have a whole lot of things going on. A lot of things in the works. A lot of interviews in the works. Live shows in the works. We're going to be doing it pretty major, man. It's big things popping for the Commissioner's Conversation. I thank you for tuning in. I thank DJ Reese Boogie for producing the show. And I encourage you, once again, to follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon, on Twitter at G Robinson Sports, on TikTok at The Commissioner Gordon. Tune in, man. Check out what's happening. Be a part of the movement that's going on. Until next week, I'll holla.
Okay, bye.